Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your continued insight and the opportunities that you continually give us to be better and better in you. We know, Lord God, that we are your children, and we refuse to be denied our greatness any further. So we come to you and we humble ourselves to you, but at the same time, we submit ourselves to you to make us stronger. Father, let us no longer confuse humility with inferiority. We are not inferior people. We are humble, mighty people, humble by choice because we say yes to you. And we humble ourselves to you. And as a result, you exalt us to greatness. So I bless everyone here today by your word and by the promise of your spirit that we are all that you've called us to be. I speak life and not death over everyone here. I speak protection over them. I speak a blessing over all the mothers today and the fathers. I say, Father God, continue to increase their spiritual insight, growth, and heart. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are all that you said we are, and we are truly doing, not can do, but are truly doing all things through Christ who gives us strength. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, so last week really went through the parables of the talent, and we the talents, and we broke that down, and the reality that God's ultimate plan was for them to come into His life, His good life. His plan was to come. His plan for us is to come into His life, His good life, the joy of His life. I sat with that a lot this week. That stuck with me a lot because he told him to come up into the, I'm going to make sure I quote it right. Come and share in your master's happiness. That took me back a lot. It knocked me back a lot. And when I was taught it and I shared it, I understood it, so I thought. But then I went home and I started to think. Are you listening? Let me see if I can get you to take a little mental, emotional journey with me right here. Come and share in your master's happiness. Who's our master? Say, I'm going to read your lips. Who's your master? Who's your Lord? Come and share in my happiness. I'm not even close to that. The reality of that, like, it made me weep. Like, wait, Lord, you really want me to share in your happiness? See, I was believing for God to just let me get a little happiness here. Am I alone? God, just bless my situation. Let me see your hand. Just help me be okay. But it hit me this week. He wants us to share in His happiness. I don't even know how to start to fathom what the Lord's happiness must be, what His peace must be, what His contentment must be. I can't even, oh my God. Even as I'm thinking about it, it's like I'm getting flush with emotion because you want me to have that. Somebody say that. Lord, you want me to have your happiness. Say it. You see how I just find stuff? And I sat back and I said, God, what is that? Help me kind of pull apart or at least begin to look at what it could possibly be for me to take part in your peace, your happiness. How many of you want that just by a show of hands? Like, I'll take all of that. Don't expect me to give you an answer to that because that's a lot. I just have to walk that out. But here's the first part of it that he did give me. The first part of partaking in his happiness is in the comfort that he, as Mike shared in his word about a month ago, he's the I got you God, that he has me, that I'm covered, that I am in his care and in his hand, and there's nothing that this world has to offer or threaten me with that I should be of concern about in any way. My provision is in his hands. And I begin to think about the word saying we're ambassadors. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're sojourners. Our source and our resource doesn't come from here. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven where thief cannot break through and steal, or moth and rust does not corrupt. And I begin to think, how do I begin to live out of this kingdom that is super abundant and never lacks? How do I begin to tap my resources from a place that I don't see when I'm focused on what's around me? And the immediate thing that came to me, how many of you want an answer to that? Who wants an answer to that? The immediate thing came to me was focusing on things around you. Are you listening to me? It takes a decision. And it takes an action. It's not automatic. We think it is because we've been conditioned to draw into those kind of things. You follow what I'm saying? We've been conditioned to look at this world and see this world and focus on this world and get a grip on this world as who we are and what we are more than we are God's promise. And so that's what we see. But that is a practice. You have to turn on the news every day and tune into the coronavirus or whatever the current plight may be, the economy and what state the economy's in. You have to get on the phone with people that talk negative all the time and want to gossip about people all day and ain't doing anything with their life. You have to choose friends, consciously or unconsciously, that are not going anywhere. And we choose people based on the place we are most of the time, not the place we want to be. Are you listening to me? We tend to choose people to be our friends or to be our associates or to be people that we confide in that are already where we are because we identify with them. The problem is when you make that choice, you can't go beyond it. The conversation and the choice has made your focus draw to you what you believe. So I began recently really separating myself from almost everybody. And in conversation, Mike, last week when we were doing it, and you start trying to go, stop. Like, I've been really sensitive to everybody like that. When they start to say stuff that's going down a road where they speaking bad over themselves or speaking limitation, I say, stop. Why? One, I don't want you doing that to yourself. Two, I don't want you speaking that into my ears so that my spirit is affected. And now I'm starting to think like that. Because if I stay around you talking like that, I'm going to start to think like that. Remember, Mike, we used to have the conversation at the time. You can't lay with dogs and not get fleas. Especially if they got fleas, baby. You're going to get them. With the best intentions, you're going to get them. You may have the best flea collar in the world. They still going to get on you. They may not stay as long, but you're still going to get them. So I'm thinking about what I hear right now. I'm thinking about what I allow around me into my heart. Focus is my choice, not the devil's, not the world's, not the news, not anything. It's mine. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. You decide what to focus on. And once your focus changes, what you draw to you from God changes. So I'm choosing in this season to focus on what his word says and what his word promises. I'm choosing to. It's a choice. And listen to me. I'm not saying I choose to read the word when I feel down. I'm not saying I'm choosing to look up some scripture. You know, let me find prayers for worry. Let me find prayers for hair growth. No, listen. Let's just choose to focus on the promise of that kingdom. Because right now we've picked the kingdom and it's the earthly kingdom. So I begin to say, God, how do I come into your happiness? Well, I have to focus on what that is. What must that be like? We sit at the right hand of God, Ephesians chapter 1 says, in heavenly places. We've been raised together and made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. He sits at the right hand of God. So if I'm sitting there, what must that look like? You stop and ever think about that? I know you think about what's in your bank account. I know you think about what bills are due. I know you probably check in your social media every day to see what people are saying. But do you stop and sit down and think about what your real home looks like? You hear what I'm saying? How many of you bear witness with what I'm saying? Just to sit down, I'm asking you to do this, just to begin to sit down and focus on what your kingdom life looks like. So God gave me a word this week, and I shared it with a few people that I talk to every day. He gave me a revelation, and we're going to get back into the scripture. He gave me a revelation. He said, I need you in this season to meditate on kingdom principles and kingdom principles thoroughly. I want to say only, but I don't want to overwhelm people to try to be something or do something that they can't do right away. So I want you to bear witness with what I'm saying right now. You're listening to me? I want you to start to focus on just pick something. Remember I told you before, don't try to do a million things at one time. Don't try to believe God for 50 things. Ask God, where do you need to build your faith right now, and let him begin to grow that. So I begin to say, God, well, God, what kingdom principles should I be focused on right now? What should I be thinking about? What should I be looking at? And he gave me a word. He gave me a word, and he gave me a phrase. And I shared it with a couple of people. So I'm just going to give you some initials so you can remember. I want you to write them down. W-I-P-P. It's an acronym, so put it down in order. Don't put it side by side. W-I-P-P. And then you can put W for with, and underneath that, A. But I want you to remember W-I-P-P. Let me hear you say it. God said, I want your focus for this season to be, ready? Wisdom. That's what our prayer and our focus is going to be. Insight. Peace. Prosperity. And abundance. Wisdom, insight, peace, and prosperity. In abundance. He said, I want you at this season to block out all the other noise and just ask me to show you that's what you want to see, that's what you want to learn, that's what you want to understand, and that's going to be your focus. How many of you, by a show of hands, say, I'm here with you on this one? So here's what we have. Wisdom, we know what wisdom is. Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So Christ is our wisdom. We got that. But what does that mean in totality? Not just to say, you know, Jesus is wisdom. Yeah, but Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So the wisdom of God should be flowing in and out and through us. Insight. Insight is synonymous with knowledge or understanding. Insight into a thing. So with all you're getting, get wisdom with that, get understanding. So it's get knowledge. So insight covers knowledge. It covers understanding. So God, don't just give me the wisdom to know who you are and who I am, what I'm called to be, but the insight on how to operate out of that, how to flow into that. You with me? Who's still with me? Wave a hand at me. Got it? You like this? And then he said peace first before prosperity. He said peace and then prosperity. Why peace first? Because if you seek after prosperity, you can lose your peace. If you have your peace, you have great prosperity, and then whatever comes to you materially doesn't have power over you because you have peace. So I begin this week. Well, actually, last week. Well, this is a new week. It's Sunday. Last week. And I begin, I think it was Wednesday, seeking God in that. And speaking it over myself every day and just praying. When I pray, not bringing up a bunch of anything. Are you listening to me?
not praying, God, pay my bills. God, tell me what I'm going to do. God, tell me what's next. God, tell me where I need to go. God, none of that. I just, the words he gave me, God, I'm thanking you and I'm seeking you for wisdom. What's the next? What's the I? What's the P? What's the other P? In what? In abundance, A. That's all I pray. I ain't touching anything else unless he tells me specifically, pray for this person or say something about that, because God showed me something in my prayer. And I learned this years ago, but I forgot. And I was on the phone praying with somebody and they started doing that. And I shut it. Stop. I've done that a few times this week. Because you know what you'll do? You'll do shotgun blast prayer. You know, you'll just throw a whole bunch. Lord, I just want to thank you for this. I'm going to thank you. You're going to make a way. And God, I know you can reach for that. Oh, God, I want to sound selfish. Let me make sure I pray for the people in Africa. And God, let me. And all of a sudden, you're just praying all of these all around prayers, hoping something connects. God said to me, don't do that. Pray to me specifically. Pray with me for clear direction. And don't pray for a bunch of crazy stuff. Wisdom, insight, peace, and prosperity and abundance. He said, and then let any other prayer grow out of that. Who's with me on this journey? Wisdom, insight, peace, prosperity, and abundance. And any other prayer you pray after you get quiet before God with that, you can pray. Let him lead you. Stop going to God with your list of what you perceive to be problems. Because the truth of the matter is, saints, most of the stuff you call in problems a lot of times is not the problem. It's the root to that problem that needs to be dealt with so that problem could go away. And you keep praying about the thing that's immediately in front of your face where God needs to deal with an issue of your heart that keeps drawing that thing to you. Have you ever prayed something away and it looked like every time you got away from it, it just came back to another person? You pray a person out your life or you put a person out your life and then another person comes and they introduce that same problem all over again. Well, maybe the issue is not the problem, it's the magnet in you that keeps drawing a certain kind of person to you. So if I pray for wisdom, and I pray for insight, and I pray for peace and prosperity and abundance, it'll give me everything I need to deal with all those other things. Who bears witness with me on this? Good. So we're back in Matthew 25. And I want to go to 24. And I want to just elaborate on his statement once again. And then I want to finish this up and move on. Then the man who received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. Here's what belongs to you. So I covered last week, he said to the master, I was afraid of you because you take or you harvest from what you never sow. Yet his master had left and gave him gold. So he obviously did sow. And the man had an opportunity to harvest from it. I've watched in this past week, as I've been trying to understand how I come into God's happiness, there's a few scriptures that says what makes God happy. Are you aware of them? One is in my mind in particular, but there are scriptures that says that God, thing that God is very happy about or makes God happy. You know what they are? Anybody want to take a pop shot? You know, stick your hand up. We'll unmute you and I'll get you in. Who wants to take a shot at what God says makes them happy? Nelly's got a hand up.
Faith.
What'd you say?
Faith.
Faith makes him happy?
Yeah.
What's the scripture?
Without faith.
What he says, I don't want you guessing. Go ahead. Come on, say it.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
So we know faith pleases God. So that's one of the things that makes him happy. Who else had a hand up? Who else had a hand up? The Jameses too.
He delights in the prosperity of his saints.
Come on now. So he delights. Faith makes him happy. Faith makes him happy. It
gives him joy.
And prosperity.
Prosperity of the saints.
He delights in. Are you listening to this? Anybody got another one?
I was going to say he in our joy, our happiness. Thanks, okay. Mike.
Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, so let's rock with that. You got one, Lindsay? Go ahead.
I do. It's one of my favorites. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
So let's look at this. Why is God happy about me prospering? So he takes pleasure in my prosperity. He says, without faith, I can't please him. So me walking in faith pleases him. Me walking in faith and me prospering makes God happy. Are you listening to me? Well, I want God to be happy. I want him to be very happy. So that I want to prosper in everything that he's called me to so he could be happy. But here's the thing. This servant, he gave this goal to. He gave him the opportunity to share in his happiness by increasing. Because the other two, the one with five and the one with two, he said clearly, well done, good and faithful servant. He's very happy that these two men took what they had and increased. He was very happy about that. Are you listening to me? Are you sure? Let me say it in simple terms. God gets happy when you increase. See, all this time you thought it was just supposed to be you and God didn't really care about that, but you just praying for that, trying to beg God to give you a quarter. When God is like, no. I want you to take the gifts I give you and grow them. And when I say increase, please don't turn this all into money. Money is the lowest form of prosperity. Money is just a payment on your service. But it should never be a God, and it should never determine how happy or sad you are. Never. Finance should never be the gauge in which you accept if God loves you or doesn't, or if he's happy with you or not. That should never be the case. That's just a payment. That's just something that lets you work in this three-dimensional world. It has nothing to do with kingdom. God don't need your money. God wants you to prosper. And if your gift prospers and increases, then your gift brings you before kings. Then the scripture says the servant is worthy of his hire. Then you begin to understand your worth, and your worth begins to pay you. I don't chase money. Those of you who know me, know I don't. I don't do bring special offerings money sermons. Never have, never will. I work to help you guys win all the time. Those of you who work close with me, know with me. Those who work with me from a distance, know. I take pleasure in your prosperity. I get excited about that because that means the principles work, not dollars. I stay with money. Stay with it. God showed me something. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and right standing or his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So I took a hold of that scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I went seeking after the kingdom. Are you listening to me? So things would be added to me, and it didn't work. And I went on and went on and went on and broke my neck trying to be as Christian and right as I could be. And still, it didn't work. That's what the book Harvest Time talks about. And God had to say to me, no. Don't seek the kingdom so you can get stuff. He said, just seek the kingdom and let stuff be added. Don't seek it for stuff. seek it to have a relationship with me. Don't seek my hand, seek my face. Don't always look for gifts. Just look for me. Listen, that's what I'm saying. And where I am, all the stuff is. How many would agree with that? That where God is, everything you need is. You don't have to seek for nothing if you live in God's house. Am I right? Think about that. Let me give you an example. How many of you ever been to my house? How many of you have been to my house? When you get to my house, do you have to worry about where you're going to sleep? You're going to be put up in a nice place. You have to worry about what you're going to eat. Mom Angela is in the kitchen cooking more food. You'll leave home with plates and pots of food. Correct? You don't worry about any. If you're going to go anywhere, if you want to go to the store, if you want to go to, we go to a restaurant, I usually pick up the bill. You're going to know how I throw down. I'm not God. Imagine if you in God's house, what it's like. So he said, seek the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek to be in my house. Don't seek the stuff in your house. Seek to be in my perfect will and in my presence. And all that stuff is just there. Just open the closet. There it sits. Just look in the cabinet. There it is. Just look under the bed. His blessings there. It's everywhere that you can imagine. God's goodness is there. We don't seek stuff. Now, what makes that real? I want to introduce something to you today that all of these messages border on from here and going out forward. Are you listening? The key is covenant. God's a covenant-keeping God for a thousand generations, the scripture says. He's a covenant-keeping God. I think we don't put enough emphasis on covenant to understand why all these things I'm saying are real and work. God does not break covenant. He promised to Israel that he would always take care of them, and he does. And he said, you have been grafted in, and you are now a seed of Israel and children of Abraham. So God has a desire that thrills him more than anything to never break covenant with you. If you understood the kingdom and you understand covenant, then you understand that there are things that just belong to you because you're his. Not how much you pray, how many times you fasted, how many times this week you went to church, how many super offerings you tried to give to get in a special blessing circle. None of that foolishness. There are things that just belong to you because you're in covenant. Say, I'm a child of covenant. Say it like you mean it. Saying it one more time, loud, so I can hear you, even though you're muted. Amen. I felt it. I felt it shake the room. You are a child of covenant. And because you're a child of covenant, covenant protects. My kids are grown. My grandkids know. They come to my house and they point out things and say, that's going to be mine, and that's going to be mine, and I'm going to have that car. And my grandkids, when they were 4 and 5, start naming which house was going to be theirs when they got old. Just claiming it. Because children, before we mess with them, naturally and instinctively understand covenant. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm joking? James family, Maestro understands covenant. Whatever you feed him with, if he hear that thing shake, if it's a bag of food, he hear that noise, he comes running. He hear the chain, he comes running. And certain things that he don't ever sit around praying, God, just please make sure they feed me today. He knows, no, you'll feed me. And if I come jump in your lap, you'll pet me. And if I roll over, you'll rub my belly. I don't have to ask you, or this is what you do. I'm in covenant with you. So much, I need you to catch the heaviness of this. Because this is a real revelation. Think about this. That dog has so much covenant that you gave him a first, middle, and last name. Rhonda did not have that dog. You did not, that dog did not come from your seed, Mike. I hope, I don't think humans can do that. Okay, all right? So here's my point. But then why does he get your name? Covenant. You gave that dog a covenant. God gave us a covenant, and we got a better God than the Jameses. And we're covered. And when we go lay on his lap, he caresses us. And when we have a need, he fills our mouth. And when we don't know what to do, he makes sure we're okay. And if you got to put a leash on us to keep it from running in the street, he'll do that too. Because that's God. There's times you try to run out to things and God just keep yanking you back. You know, I just hope you won't let me do it. It's like, yeah, I'm trying to keep you from killing yourself. That's a covenant. And I need you to understand, this is expressing covenant. He's trying to show them, I'm giving you things and giving you the opportunity to grow in covenant. I'm giving you opportunities and gifts and talents and giving you the opportunity to grow in covenant. And you're not honoring covenant. So you're chasing things instead of growing in covenant. Wisdom, insight, peace, prosperity. It's covenant gifts. Money's temporary gifts. I don't seek money. Seek covenant. Did you learn something? If you learned something, get your clap emoji up or wave a hand at me or give me something. Let me know you're learning something. So his master replied, he's wicked and lazy. For if you knew that harvest where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed, then you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I return, I would receive something back with interest. So take from him. Take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10. And whoever, this is where we left off last week. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Right back to that word. Whoever has will have more, and they will have an abundance. What does God want? You to have an abundance of whatever he gives you. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw the worthless servant outside of the kingdom, into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So God said, have abundance. And those who have will have more and have abundance. How many of you saying, well, I don't feel like I have abundance? Well, you have abundance off of what he already gave you. And you take it and you give it back to him with increase. And then he invites you to abundance. So he said, whoever has, I will give more. And whoever don't do anything with what I gave them, I'll take that, even that from them. So your dreams and visions get removed from you. Stop a minute before I go any further and think about what your gift and talent is. And ask yourself, have you let the world or life or situations talk you out of it? Have you convinced yourself that what you have is not worth much? And it's easy to do that if you look around and you see like, well, there's a lot of people that's teachers. I mean, so what? I'm a teacher. And we're underpaid and we're underappreciated. And you start saying what they say. And then you reap that. You should never say that. I'm appreciated. And my gift will make room for me. And then God will begin to show you where to use that gift and how to use that gift. So that gift increases you. And then you could come back to him and say, Lord, you gave me this. And now I'm giving you back what you gave me. And this is my increase. And you may not think as much, but to God, it's increase. If you have a job or a business and you started out not making nothing and now you're making $100 a week, you can come back to God and say, God, here's what you gave me. And here's what I did with it. Yeah, I know, but it's not much. It doesn't matter. The man with 5 and the man with 2, he treated exactly the same. And the man with 1, he would have treated him the same. So it's like the widow's mite. She gave her 1 penny. And he said, this woman gave more than all of you, even though you gave out of your wealth, because she gave all she had. See, God is not gauging you on how much you think you need to do. He's gauging you on how much you do with what he gives you. Is this speaking to anybody? Is this ministering to anybody? Stop looking at other people, engaging yourself based on other people. Stop looking at what you think you should do and say to God for a minute, here's what you gave me. Here's what I did with it. And here it is back. And stop deciding it's not enough. I'm talking to somebody today. Stop deciding it's not enough. It is enough. If you are obedient to do something with what God gave you, just give it back to him. Why? Because then he'll say, now I'll give you more. I see, I can trust you with little. You've been faithful with little. Come on up into the kingdom. I'm going to trust you with more. We have a tendency to shame ourselves too much. I remember when I was young and I was in a church, the pastor did an offering. And even though I was young, just something grieved me. He was calling people up by numbers. And those who have $50 come up. Those who have, now those who have $20 come up. Now those who have $10. And I would say, even though I didn't believe in that God stuff and none of it, I'm sitting there with the family that took me and I'm sitting there going, this ain't right. This don't feel right. So if I got a dollar now, I got to feel shame. I'm going up on the cheap people's line. Not understanding in my spirit that God wasn't looking at their 20. If they had 2,000, they was only given 20. But if I only had one and I was given one, I was given more than the people who gave 20. You catch that? It's the same thing with your gifts. It's not how much you can do. It's what he gave you and what you give back to him out of what he gave you. Does that speak to anybody? Does that speak to you? Let me see your hand. If that speaks to your heart. God is not judging you according to anybody but you. He's giving you a gift. Do what you can with that gift. And even if you feel like you get stuck, still say, God, this is how much I was able to do. I don't know what else to do now. But here is what you gave me, and here's what I was able to do with it. And I'm bringing it back to you. And watch him bless and multiply that gift. Watch him take that gift to the next level. New ideas will start to come to you. New doors, the connections will start to open up to you. All of a sudden, you go, wow. Now this connection is here. Now I just happened to meet this person, or this insight opened up. Because you started out. I remember using Michael James Jr. I remember when Mikey was struggling with his music. And he was trying to. And I kept speaking these words over him. Remember, Mikey, I would walk over to you before service. I'd just walk over to you to the keyboard and start prophesying into you and speaking destiny into you. And I could see days you just look like, oh, God. And I would just walk right over to you. God would wake me up and say, go downstairs and speak to your nephew. Speak life to him. And you went and you sat with it. And then one day you just got up and you said, I'm going to Florida. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know this and that. I just know this is what my plan is. I'm going. And look what you did. You took what you had, you developed it, and you said, here I am in Florida. And what did God do? Open up your world, your life. So when I saw your apartment and all that, and the pool, and I was like, look, see, this is what I'm talking about. Same thing with you, Nelly. This is what I'm talking about. You gave God what you had. Stop thinking you got to bring God perfection. Just bring him your increase. Just bring him your increase. Am I speaking to somebody today? Just bring him your increase. God didn't ask you to judge it. He didn't tell you to come up with what's a good amount or what's a bad amount or how much more it could be. Stop doing that. How many of you feel right now as I'm speaking to you, that you've done all you know to do at this time and don't know what else to do? Let me see your hand. Like I mean, there's always a feeling like I could do more, but for now, I feel like I've done all I know to do. Let me see you. Let me see your hand. Then that's your seed. Give that up. That's your increase. Give that up. Surrender that. Watch what God does with that. Some of you didn't raise your hand because you think, no, I know there's so much more I could do. Now, that's just Martha spirit on you. If you've been doing your more and more and it still ain't working, just stop. Just stop. Stop being an idiot. Just stop. Okay? Just stop. If it's not flowing in ease anymore, maybe you've reached the end of what you can do with what you have. Now surrender that again. You got where you are now by surrendering what you originally had. Some of you are doing things or pursuing things or chasing dreams that you never even imagined you could do. Now you feel stuck. That's because you ain't turned it back. Trust in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit them to him, and he will bring them to pass. See, there's a part that you get out of. God bless you, sis. There's a place where you give it back to him, and he brings it to pass. Trust in him, and he'll give you the desires. He'll put them in there. He'll put them in there. But then you have to surrender them back. So this is my word for everybody today. You listening? Don't get caught up in what you think God can do or can't do with what you've done so far. Search your heart and ask God today, God, have I done all I can do in my own strength? And if he says yes to you, then you give it back and rest. Stop living in turmoil and running around doing a bunch of stuff that you're not called to do. You're not going to go further with what you have. What you have got you where you are. Now God has to reintroduce you. Why is it done that way? Because it keeps you in faith. It keeps you trusting. It keeps you coming back to God for another bag of gold so you can go put it back amongst the changes again. It's not that you submit the gold and he gives you 10 and then you say, well, now I got 10, I don't have to do nothing. No, he wants you to then do something again. He wants you to take it back to the changes. He wants you to take it back again. But you can't use what got you from 5 to 10 to go from 10 to 20. You have to now go back to God and say, okay, God, here's what I did with that. What do I do now? So when you came to me with the salon, you came to me and you said, I did all I know to do, and it didn't go well. It went well for a while, then all went haywire. What do I do now? First things I started introducing totally frustrated you. It went so against what you believed. And I'm like, we can't use what you did anymore. We got to use something new. And I went before God and found out what the next steps were. That's what I do. That's what makes me the architect. So I'm saying to you, as I'm speaking to you, and I'm going to wrap up here. Everybody has been given gifts according to their abilities, according to this chapter. Some of you have looked at your gifts and deemed them not worth much or not worthy. Maybe you looked at somebody else's gifts and you've decided based on how they're doing, you can't be worth that much. If he gave you 5, if he gave you 1, if he gave you 10, if he gave you a half, he valued that you with that gift. And he knew how far you can go with that gift. If you're stuck now, it's because you're still trying to do the same process that went with the beginning of the gift. Stop, take a breath, let the shame go, stop beating yourself up, and go to Daddy and say, here's what I've done with what you gave me. Here's what I've done with what you gave me. If there's any more you want me to do, let me know. If not, here's what I got. And trust me, you'll be getting on here next week saying to me, I'm on a different level right now. I'm in a different place right now. Last thing I'll say, off the subject, but still on the subject. I was looking at what God taught me about my health to take care of myself. And God spoke to me about my weight a while ago. And he told me, you keep going up and down and you can't lose weight because you're looking at it as if you have a weight problem that you need me to help you with. Instead of speaking victory over who you are, even in the area of your weight, you come to me with death and ask me to give you life. Instead of coming to me with life and asking me to increase the life within you. Wisdom, insight, peace, prosperity. He said, I need you to stop looking at yourself as dead that I got to raise, or as, you know, having a problem that I have to fix, and look at it as when you come to me is I am the solver and nothing needs to be fixed. And trust me. So I didn't want to go on a diet. I remember many times I've lost tons of weight, going to the gym, working hard and doing all this stuff. And then I turn around and put it back on. Now I don't diet. I don't struggle. I had to first free my spirit from the fat person that I had made, accepted that I was in my own spirit. Does that make sense to anybody? I had to really sit with God with everything I just said to you and say, here's what I got. Here's what I give to you. This is me. This is how I eat. I've made this adjustment, and this is as far as I can go, and I'm giving it back to you. And all of a sudden, I stopped seeing myself as a person with a problem, and I started seeing myself as a person with a solution. And the solution wasn't how I had to change my diet, all that. It was just God is my solution. For those of you who don't remember, this is me in October. Can you see that? Can you see that? That's October. I didn't do anything strenuous. I haven't even been in the gym. The gym's been closed. God changed the way I see myself. I'm down 2 clothes sizes, and I haven't been in the gym. God changed the way I see myself, and what was on the inside now projects on the outside. I want to thank Rainey for being an encouragement to me, doing over 100 pounds off herself. Nelly for showing me how to eat plant-based. Kenny, who's not on here, from Ain't Too Proud, confirming what Nelly already showed me. God is awesome in this. Awesome in this. And I'm every week now, I'm expecting a difference. Like, I'm not even, I wake up every morning, literally, and I go to the mirror. And let me just say this to you. I've not been on a scale one time through this whole process. Because I said, if I get on a scale, I'm going to be looking to man. I'm going to be looking to my own strength and my own energy. Instead, I said, I'm not going to look to scale. I've never been on a scale yet. So I don't know how much I lost. I don't care. I said to God, I'm fit in the spirit. I began to confess that I'm fit. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I begin to confess that I don't have a weight problem. I begin to speak the life over me that his word promises. That's what I did. That's what I did. And I gave myself 5 months. End of November, right after Thanksgiving, because I wanted to make sure I still was able to throw down on Thanksgiving. And after Thanksgiving, I went in. I said, God, change my life. Change my life. And he did. And he did. So I'm healthier. I'm stronger. I got more energy. It's not even about weight, because I laid aside the weight and the sin that easily besets me. I got rid of it in the spirit first. Stop dieting and killing yourself. Change your perspective of who you are in the spirit first, and the rest of it will follow you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Stop letting man bamboozle you with fears. It's not worth it. All you do is chase after the fear, and you find yourself back in the same place you started. That's all I got to say. I'm speaking from my heart today. I know that greatness is ours, but we keep telling God in our prayers how great we're not, and God is not pleased with that, and he doesn't want to hear that. He wants you to come before him and tell him who he told you you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. These are the things that should be coming out of your mouth before the throne. You called me to do this. You showed me that I would be great in this. You told me that you want me to be successful in this. You've given me gifts and talents in this. And even if they're not working for you right now, start speaking to them. Give some life to them. And then come back to God and say, I'm bringing you what you gave me. And I'm bringing you it with five more. And God say, well done, sweetie. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And he will add more to it. And he will add more to it. And I did that even the area of my weight. I said, I'm going to do what I can, and I'm going to bring it to you. And then you tell me if there's anything else that needs to change. He said, no, we're good. I got it from here. Boom. I don't diet. I eat, and I eat well. And I'm not even attracted anymore. My heart repulses bad stuff. I don't like certain things. So I just don't do it. This is the God we serve. Give him the opportunity to do the work. Get your hands all out of it and give him the opportunity to do the work. Take the gift he gives you, do the best you can, and then bring back to him and watch what he does for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. And we bless you for your word, and we thank you for the truth that comes out of your word. We are bigger and greater than the world that's sitting in front of us, and we do not walk in fear. And we do not hide your gifts under a rock. We will do what we know to do, and we will give them back to you. And we will trust that if we are faithful with the little, you will bless us with much. Bless each and every person under the sound of my voice today. Let them be encouraged to become everything that you've called them to be. And we give you all the honor and praise and thanks for our victories and all that belongs to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we give you love, praise, honor, and glory. Amen and amen. I'm going to turn this screen over to Mrs. Brown, my wife. And I'm going to tell you guys, I love you very much with all my heart. I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you're sitting and learning at this time and season. I see you, Shell. And I really expect great things for you. I believe for great things for all of you. And I believe that God is not scarce in resource. Amen.